listening to this week's message here at The Cause Church. For more information, visit our website at thecausechurch.org.
We're talking this morning about the view from the inside. Years ago, I say that a lot in my sermons, years ago. You'll find the older you get. But I just use this to illustrate it. My first job was in a grocery store. And I'm going to tell you, I loved it. Anybody else first job in a grocery store? Anybody at home work in a grocery store? I'm going to tell you, I loved working in a grocery store. Anybody have those reoccurring dreams that you're still there in a job years ago? And you can't get out, and it's like you gave your notice, but you can't leave. It's like, what is happening? And so, but I was in high school. I was there when I graduated, and the grocery store was locally owned, but huge business. And I did all kinds of different things in that grocery store, but it looked nice from the outside. And so you would, back in those days, just to give you a little education, when you would bag groceries, which I did when I started, then I got promotion, and I could run the cash register and stock the dairy. I was big time then, But when you take people's carts out, you'd actually take them, bag their groceries in paper bags, and you would put them on a cart, and you would go out, and they would, listen to this, people would tip you. Anybody? Here's what happened. If you're this age, I'm not far behind you, I'm 53, but you always wanted to take bags out for the older people. Like, you look for people, I think she's over 80, I want to bag her groceries. Because you're going to get 50 cents to a buck. Just for walking groceries out. Listen, in 1987, 50 cents is a soda. That's a Pepsi. That's Showtime right there. So anyway, and I tell you all that, it would look great from the outside, but here's what would happen. At times, you would get called later on as I worked there. I would get sent late at night to go down into, we had a basement. Nobody knew that basement was there, but it was filled with, we'd unload trucks there. And stuff would just sit on pallets, whole pallets of corn, whole pallets of spaghetti and all this. So I'd go down there, and you really wanted to get sent down there because the boss wasn't around, and you did your job, but still, you weren't being watched all the time, and you were cool for some reason if you didn't have to bag groceries. Anyway, something happened in that basement that was different. And I remember the basement, this grocery store is no longer in business, but it was a huge basement, huge. And you could probably have a football field in there. All the way around, there was about a 12-foot wall that went up all the way and stopped 3 feet short all the way around. And the other side, it was where there was residue from digging the basement out. And so here's what would happen. And some people may leave the Cause Church over this, but I'm going to roll the dice again and trust you'll still love me. I've been saved and set free since then. But there were these things called rats that were like this big. A small child could ride them. That would run those walls because they're like, cool, grocery store, we're hanging out here. And they would run those walls. Now, here's what made it fun and where you may leave the church. We had these bins of crushed cans and damaged products that we got credit on that we couldn't sell, we couldn't do anything with. Well, then that's when target practice came in. So one of the reasons I like to go to the basement is I would love to go down there because I wanted to throw cans at rats. Raise your hand if you're already leaving the church. Some of you were condemning me and you do the same thing when you were in high school. So what would happen is you get down there and you'd be loading the car. You'd be, oh, there's a rat. And I'd go over, French cut green beans, do a two-step drop and fire that thing and try to hit the rat. People don't leave, okay? The whole point of this is not that I threw cans at rats. But here's the point. If people that came into that store knew that went on in the basement, they may not come back. Much case like a restaurant. I hear people that work in restaurants and they work on in kitchens. Maybe they're a mechanic. They go in and work on restaurants. I've made this statement. I can't wait to go to that restaurant and somebody's standing by and they're like, I've been in that kitchen. So we sit there, you eat, and there might not be anything. It might just be their opinion. But what I'm trying to get you to understand, the view from the inside is different than the outside. And it's different, and we wouldn't advertise. We never had an advertising campaign and said, we have rats in the basement. Why? Because people wouldn't come. We wanted people to come. But that was hidden down there. And much like some of you parents of teenagers, you might say, man, I try to keep the house looking great. But when you go into my teenage daughter or son's bedroom, it looks like an explosion went off. Everything else. Why can't? And so it's just, and I'm not hammering on the teenagers at all, but what I'm saying is that, often it looks different on the inside what it does on the outside. Much like your personal home, you can keep the grass mowed and the yard manicured and all these things. But if you're a hoarder inside and it's wall to wall, it doesn't match up. And so this is what I want to talk to you a little bit about tonight, a thing called the heart. That we believe this, the Bible tells us, it's not just because we believe it. We believe it. The Bible says that when you call out to Christ, the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside you. Anybody with me? To say it a different way, that means that God lives inside you. If you are in Christ today, He lives inside you. But the problem with that is sometimes we believe, and you might think, that when you become a Christian, you have no problems anymore. We believe that once you come to Christ, that you're not going to have to just deal with stuff, and everything is just perfect, and there's things don't rear itself back up in your life. How many of you have ever had this happen? You feel like things are going good, and you said something, or something came out of you, and you did something, and then you go, "Where'd that come from?" Anybody with me? I'll be brave enough to raise. And it's like, wait a minute, where'd that come from? Here's where it comes from. Jeremiah 17:9, a famous scripture. If you've not heard the scripture, that's fair, but it's one that I hear people quote a lot. Here's what it says. And Jeremiah is speaking to Judah, the area of Judah. And what happened is the area of Judah, God had continually to the Israelites told them, don't do this. Don't follow other gods. But they, if you read the scriptures, we see that they continually got sidetracked. And in this situation, he's throwing it down at him. He's a prophet. He's giving it to him saying, come on, guys. And here's what he says in 17:9. He says, the human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Now, doesn't that just warm our hearts today? Don't we just go, well, that's great. I thought the heart, and what I'm talking about the heart is not our physical heart. I'm talking about everything that makes you up, your will, the emotions, your being, everything that's in you. But he's saying here to them, the human heart is it's not one of the most deceitful things. It is if you rank deceitful things in this world, the heart is there. This is not hammering on anybody in this room. This is not saying we're horrible people, but this is what the scripture says, and I'm trying to establish what Jesus is talking about here in a minute. And he says, and it's desperately wicked. This is where it comes into that at times things come out of us, or we can start thinking things that aren't necessarily true. Somebody does something to you. And even over the last 18 months, we've seen that we've all probably experienced that our emotions got the best of us and something came out of us that we're like, wait a minute, I didn't intend for that to happen. I didn't mean that. Or where did that come? Or I've heard people, I just can't help it. Yes, we can. I have control of what I say and every action I have. There's not something that comes into me and makes me do things. So it says the human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. And then he says this, who really knows how bad it is? So what that means to me this morning is that there could be things lurking in my heart this morning, even though I'm saved, even though I'm in Christ, that I don't even know that are there until they start to come up. You guys trailing with me? It doesn't mean you're a bad person, doesn't mean I'm a bad person, but it just means that we've got to come to the place that we understand, which is my first point. We all have heart issues. You guys with me? I thought there'd be one amen there. I mean, it's not something, yes, I have a heart issue, yes. But what I'm trying to get us to understand is that means this, that I have there's inside of me, there is the ability for my heart to be wicked. Even as a follower of Christ. There is also the ability inside me this morning for my heart to deceive me. Here's a good example. I hear this a lot, and I've probably said it myself, but, you know, I counsel a lot of people. I don't know if I do it well, but I try. Well, I'm following my heart, Pastor. Can I just save you some time? As a 53-year-old old man, your heart is not always right. You say, but Jesus lives in me. He does. But there's still that part of us at times that still lives in us, that old nature. Anybody ever experienced that old nature? It comes up and we decide. But here's the thing. To our flesh, the old nature appeals more to than God. You with me? So that's why at times we get caught up in this, and that's why things materialize, and you try to pump the brakes and it doesn't work, and you get there and you're like, how did this happen? Because that old nature came back up. That's why Paul says, I die daily. What does that mean? That doesn't mean he died physically. That means that every day he is continually saying, God, you're the Lord of my life. I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to crucify every part of me that raises up, that goes against you. And so we've got to understand that if anybody in this room thinks, I think it or you think it, that your heart can never deceive you, you're already deceived. I've been there. I hear this a lot, and can I just talk to all the single girls and guys for a second? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but please listen to me. And I say this in love, but I think it's important. If you are setting out right now, because I hear this, I'm following my heart with this person. And that's good. I fell in love with my wife at first sight. I wish I could say the same the other way, but it didn't happen. I grew on her in a weird way. Whatever that means. But anyway. We say, if you're a guy, you say, or a girl, either way, if you're a guy, you say, my heart tells me this is right. Well, we got to be careful. We need to pump the brakes then. Because everything that feels right is not right. You with me? Let's just take a survey. Who in this room has ever done something that felt right, but on the other side you went, snap, that wasn't right? More than one time. Then we've been deceived. We've all been deceived. And so, but the thing is this, and I say this, and I say it a lot, but it's so important to me. If you're in this room, I just want to cut to the chase. If you are and especially teenagers, if you're in this room and you are falling in love as a girl with a guy, and they are not a stronger Christian than you, cut ties now. Do it. You say, but I'm going to lead them to Christ as you date them. I'm not doubting the power of God, but nope. Because I've not seen it happen very often. You know why? Because I can bring, and I'll use this example, I can bring great women after women up on this stage this morning from all my years of ministry, and they can stand here broken inside and say, I need to tell you what it's like to have a non-Christian husband. And it is heartbreaking. And so you say, and I'm not saying you could never lead them to Christ, but what I'm saying is we've got to be careful that we don't get into that, though everything my heart says is right, because we should always let God's word direct and trump everything our heart tells us. Amen. If it goes against him. Amen? And I'm trying to save you younger people some heartache and some brokenness, because it's the continuing thing of trying to put a square peg in a round hole. It never will work. And you can say, well, I love him as a girl. I'm not doubting that. But the longer you stay with them, the worse it's going to get. Because you let your heart out the door, it's showtime. Because then you kind of, we kind of settle, and this has, I don't know why I'm spending so much time on this. Maybe God wants me to. You step in this, and then we change our minds a bit. We say, well, I know he's not a Christian, or she's not a Christian, but they're a good, they might be a good person. And you say, well, I'm just going to go on and keep dating him. And then you fall in love more this day. You fall in love more this day. Then we start to change things. Because then we go from, I really shouldn't be dating this person, not because they're bad, but because they're not a Christian, but I've already got this much time invested, we're just going to start banking now that they'll come to Christ. You say, well, okay, I've been dating them now, and I kind of gave them a year inside to get saved. They're not saved, but I'm going to go on and marry them because that's when they'll settle down and receive Christ. Listen, I'm not saying it's not possible, but I see it happen very few times. And so I say that in love has really nothing to do except following your heart. So you can, don't get mad at me or whatever you want to do with it. Just file it or throw it out if you don't agree with it. But I'm just speaking from experience. We all have heart issues. All of us. And the first thing is admitting it. That it doesn't mean we're bad people. It just means that there is the ability inside me right now as a follower, Holy Spirit-filled believer, that my heart could deceive me. And there's wicked things that could be looming and lurking in there that I need to watch. Your pastor needs to watch those things. But I want to read you Matthew 15. And I want to go through this, and we'll be finished by about 3, so just hang on. I'm just joking. Some of you are like, wait a minute. Here's what it says. This is bringing Jesus. Some Pharisees and teachers of the religious law. Pharisees and Jesus did not get along. Pharisees were more driven by the outward appearance than the inward appearance. So that's why they got on Jesus he got on his last nerve. It says, some Pharisees and teachers of the religious law now arrive from Jerusalem to see Jesus. They ask him, why do your disciples disobey our age-old tradition? For they ignore our tradition of ceremonial hand washing before they eat. These Pharisees are in the presence of Jesus. They're in the presence of Jesus. And it leads me to my point here is this. We can miss the point by focusing on the wrong things. We can completely be in church or in the presence of Jesus and miss the main point. What's the main point? Jesus, who he is and what he can be in your life every single day. That he can forgive you of sins, that he can continue to clean you up so that the things that hinder you today don't hinder you tomorrow. And so the Pharisees are right here in the presence of the Jesus, the future Savior of the world that's going to die for their sins, and things could have changed, but they were so focused on, okay, inside they might be thinking, well, we're in the presence of Jesus, but here's the problem. We see your disciples don't wash their hands before they eat. And so what they would do is the Pharisees and teachers of the law, they would add things to the law. They would say, well, you can't, let me just use this example. You need to go to church, but when you come to church, you can never wear a t-shirt. I'm just bringing it to modern. Or you have to wear a t-shirt and it can't go below your belt line more than an inch. It's the same thing they added. They even said, you have to wash your hands up to your elbows. Well, what if I just did it to my forearm? Well, you missed it. You can't eat then. And Jesus is just looking at them like, what is going on here? You guys are, so they're missing the point by focusing on the wrong things. Jesus is here and could have gotten inside them and healed their heart, but they're focused on hand washing. You with me? How many of us in this room, don't raise your hands, we miss Jesus. We can be in the presence of God at a service or with some friends at a home group or praying with somebody over the phone, and we miss things because we're so bothered by something that Jesus would say, I don't even care about that. It's not something that I'm even bothered by. And it's like there's so many times. I'll give you an example. I used to go into churches. I'm being honest with you. I used to go into churches before I was a pastor. And I've always been a drummer, and I've always played. And if I didn't like the worship or thought they weren't any good, I would just stand here and be like, this is ridiculous. That's ridiculous. For me to get, because I am in the presence of God, but I can't receive from somebody from the service because I don't like the way the drummer plays or the lead singer sings. And isn't it so easy to be deceived like that? That I could have, what did I miss in those services? Because I was so focused on, well, this doesn't fit my appetite. It's not designed to fit my appetite. It's designed for me to receive from Christ and give back to him. You with me? The worship is not, how hard would it be to please everybody? You can't please everybody. So the Pharisees missed the point by focusing on the wrong things. I used to miss the point. I was so focused on these things. Then in verse 3, it says, Jesus replied. And so there's a conversation between Jesus and the Pharisees. He said, and why do you, by your traditions, violate the direct commandments of God? For instance, God says, honor your father and mother. And anyone who speaks disrespectfully of father or mother must be put to death. That's pretty harsh. Verse 5, all the kids are like, Mom and Dad, I love you. Verse 5 says this, but you say it is all right for people to say to their parents, sorry, I can't help you, for I have vowed to give to God what I would have given to you. Verse 6, in this way you say they don't need to honor their parents so you can cancel the word of God for the sake of your own tradition. The word said that the law said when you were growing up, your parents would take care of you. Then when you get out of the house, if they need help, the children were then to reverse roles and take care of the parents. Well, what would happen is the Pharisees were setting aside money or belongings and said, we dedicate these to God. So then when people would say, well, you should be helping your parents, we've dedicated these to God. Real religious and letting their parents go in need. And so here's what I want you to think about, my second point. We can change our beliefs to fit our lives and make us look better. So see, they completely changed it to make it, you can add, you ever added things to God's word? Let me take it, you ever compared yourself to somebody else? Well, I'm not as bad as. I've heard that so often, and probably I've used that flag before. I'm saying, well, at least I'm not as bad as them. I've heard people criticize other people for what they watch on TV, but they're watching the same things at their house. You with me? It's like, well, at least I don't have a filthy mouth like them, because what we're doing is grading it by the words we say. Well, I don't say that, but I say this. So we're this is how we're deceived. We love to change things to make ourselves feel more comfortable. You settle in God's, say, okay, well, I'm going to put an addendum on God's word here just for me. But if I see you doing it, you're out of line. You with me? And it's like, really? we're gonna change this. And that's what Jesus is saying. Don't do that. You're missing the whole point, guys. Gals, you're missing it. We can change our beliefs to fit our lives and make us look better. I share this with you, and Cleansing Streams heard this. Me and when I was dating Heather in the 80s, right on, had my hair winged back and had a lot of hair then. I'm telling you, I was a rocker. Anyway, no, I wasn't, but I did have a... Help me remember. Okay. We would go to, I'm going to be honest, we would go to rated R movies. It was bad then. It's bad. Now, G movies are almost rated R, in my opinion, at times. I'm not lying to you. So if you leave the church over this, I love you. I would ask for forgiveness in advance. I'm serious. So I'm changing things to fit to, I would say, Jesus, Jesus, forgive me for what I'm about to do. I remember sitting in a theater and praying that prayer. I wouldn't be like, God, you know, help. But I'd be like, Jesus, forgive me for what I'm about to watch. And then I'd be like, Now here's my question. Do you think God heard my heart? He heard it, but he didn't answer that prayer. Because I'm changing it so I'll feel better about the situation. Now, certainly I don't do that anymore. But back in those days, I was living according to, I had no relationship with God. It was all about, I'm going to do this. But I thought for some reason, if I ask for forgiveness in advance, I'll be forgiven on the other side. And Jesus, that's not the way this works. You can't change things. You're missing the whole point. I'm just being honest with you. Hopefully you still love me. So we can change our beliefs to fit our lives and make us look better. Colossians 2:8 says this, don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. You know, it's saying don't change your beliefs by what appeals to your heart. That deceit that could be in there, that evil that could be, because it's going to appeal to it. So if somebody comes along and I say to people, I'm just giving an example. If I say here, I say, listen, you should not have sex outside of marriage, which is God's word. Amen. If you go and somebody comes up to you that's a pastor, and unfortunately this happens and says, oh yeah, you can do that. It's all covered under the grace. You're not an idiot. You're going to choose this. Because it appeals more to your flesh. And you're thinking, well, this pastor said it. I heard him preach it, so I can do it. But it doesn't matter. See, we've changed our beliefs to fit what appeals to our hearts. And that's why we've got to be so careful, because anybody, myself included in this room, can come to the place where our heart can begin to shift. And if we start feeding those things and listening to them, we can be drawn a whole different direction. You with me? So he says, don't let anyone capture you. Don't even capture you with empty philosophies. But then it goes on to say this. I need to hurry. Matthew 15:7. You guys still with me? I love this next line. Because a lot of people think Jesus, like Pastor Ben Rainey said, a warm and cuddly Jesus. And he is. But Jesus also had moments of mic drop moments. He said, you hypocrites. This is Jesus. Hypocrite means an actor. Means you're, like for example, if you watch TV shows. If you follow those people around in TV shows and the movies, they don't live the same life you see on the big screen. You with me? I just crushed somebody this morning. It doesn't happen. They're acting. They're pretending for money. And this is what he's saying. You're pretending that you're religious. You're pretending that you're in contact with God. But here's what I have for you. Jesus says, you're hypocrites. I believe, mic drop. And then he says, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you when he wrote. And I'll get to that in a second, but let me give you this point. God sees our heart issues even when we do not. He looks through them. He sees us. He looks right into me right now and sees what's going on. He has an inside view. And that's not scary, church. Can I just say to you, that is not bad? It's not a bad thing for the God of everything to look into your heart and see what's really going on. Why? Because first of all, he has a better plan for your life. But second, it'll keep us from going astray if we listen to him. Who knows that sin hurts? It kills, it destroys. That's why this is a good thing. Because I am not above being deceived. I'm not above wickedness coming out of my heart. Even as a follower of Christ, it's that old self that's in there at times. Then he goes on to say this. This is what he says when Isaiah said it, Isaiah 29, 13. Matthew 15, 8. Listen to what Jesus says. He says, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. This is the key scripture. Their worship is a farce, for they teach man-made ideas as commands from God. So here's the point. The view from the inside is more important than the outside. Every single time. We spend so much time, and it's good. I don't want you to think it's not good. I spent some time getting ready this morning, so if you think, man, he should have spent more time, I don't know. There's nothing wrong with wanting to look good. Are you guys with me? You receive that? You understand that? I'm not saying. I tell our staff, dress like you care. Don't show up at the church in sweatpants and a t-shirt or tank top when we're here. On work days. Let's dress like we care. Let's dress like we put some effort, you know. Wear a shirt. Do whatever you need to do. I'm trying to make you laugh, but you won't. It's kind of edgy. But just dress like you care, so that's good. But here's the point. The amount of time that I spend working on how I look outwardly, and if you watch fat, and there's nothing wrong with looking, watching fashion, reading fashion blogs and all that stuff and buying new clothes. I have a stylist. I really do. I have somebody that helps me out with stuff. I don't pay them. They critique me. And it's great. I love that. It keeps me looking younger because I need all the help I can get now. But here's the point. The amount of time that we spend trying to appear looking good on the outside, in comparison, how much time do we spend weekly worrying about in here? Just saying, God. Because God doesn't care about the outside. I mean, he cares, but hear my heart. The view from the inside is more important than the outside. He says, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts, they're over here. He's talking to the Pharisees, you hypocrites. You're standing and you're raising your hands and you're saying, oh, great God, you're so awesome. But you're here and you're doing this motion, but your hearts are over here, cold and dead, with all this stuff just inside it. You know, I love worship. I'm a big Christian music guy. I love it. I just try to keep up with everything. And you know, I love Bethel worship from California. I love the Johnsons and Phil Wickham and all those guys. And I've seen them two or three times live. And I saw them at the Lyric last time. And there's just something powerful about when Christians come together. I believe that. You with me? But listen, here's the thing. You can take a snapshot and fill the largest stadium in this nation, 100,000, Penn State, let's use that, big stadium, or Michigan, college stadium, 100,000 plus people. And they could all have their hands lifted and work. But I want you to hear me in this. Do you know that God looks directly in the heart and he doesn't pay any attention to the outside as much? You guys with me? So what that means, you could be there and our hands can be, because here's the thing, we can be moved by music. Are you with me? It's like I used to say, I have to have music, worship music, to pray. Really? I can't, you know, and it's like, and if you need that, that's fine. But what I'm saying is we can have our hands up and be worshiping God and going for it and just crying out to him. But if my heart's not there, it doesn't matter. Because God says, I love you so much. I'm going to look through you, Greg. I want to see, I'm looking in your heart. And you might be saying, you're awesome. I love you. But your heart is over here. It's way over here. How can I get these to match up? How can I join them together? Now, I don't want you to go to the place where you think, oh my goodness, I'm never going to raise my hands in church again. You're missing the whole point. Because the whole point of that is that it just means you can come to church and you can just be here. You can be thinking about, you ever gone through a worship service and you're not even there. You're thinking about the afternoon or what's going to happen or thinking about something you shouldn't be thinking about. And you're going through the motions, but your heart's not here. And to that case, God says, don't even bother. Because he wants your heart more than your outward, your movements. You with me? He's just saying, I want your heart. I want to fix it. He's saying, you're hypocrites, and I have a better plan for you. There's all this stuff in your heart, and maybe there's something in people's hearts in the church today, and it keeps you from worshiping. God says today, I just let me have your heart in a fresh new way. I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm not saying you're not with Christ, but God wants to get inside us and do surgery and reveal to us things that are off. Because he doesn't want his people, it's no good to stand around and just raise your hands and pretend. You know why I can't? I've done that. I've gone through worship services and my heart has been a million miles away. Maybe I was playing with something under the hood nobody knew about, but boy, I sure maybe look good raising my hands in church. God says, Greg, just drop your hands for a minute. Stop worshiping me. Let me take over your heart in a fresh new way. Let me in. I'm not saying I wasn't saved. I'm not saved. I'm saying just let me in. Just let me do some work. And then, listen, when God does something in your heart, you have a reason to raise your hands. It's not forced. It's not like, ugh. Now, I understand there's times in our lives we go through situations and it still says make a joyful noise. But it all centers back to one thing, the heart. The heart issue. You guys with me? The view from the inside is more important. I need to roll because I'm running out of time. Verse 10, and we're almost finished. Then Jesus called the crowd to come together and said, listen, he said, and try to understand. It's not what goes into your mouth that defiles you. Because they were saying that it would defile you if you ate with unwashed hands. He said, it's not what goes into your mouth that defiles you. Listen to this. You are defiled by the words that come out of your mouth. Because they come from our heart. They come from inside. Our actions come from inside. They're those natural reactions. Those things that just come out from time to time. And you're like, wait a minute. Verse 12 says, then the disciples came to him and said, do you realize, I love this. He said, Jesus, excuse me for a second. Do you realize you offended the Pharisees by what you just said? Jesus replied, every plant. Jesus always goes down a different path sometimes. You ever read something in scripture like, what in the world are you talking about? He's getting somewhere. He says, every plant not planted by my heavenly Father will be uprooted. So ignore them. He says they're blind guides leading the blind. And if one blind person guides another, they will both fall into a ditch. Then Peter said, Jesus, explain to us the parable that says people aren't defiled by what they eat. Here's my thought. The word can offend us if our hearts are not right. They came up and said, Jesus, oh my goodness. I can say, what are we going to do with him? He's offending people left and right now. Jesus, you just offended him. Jesus is kind of like, he didn't say this, but he's like, I know. Jesus was, he was a straight shooter. As God is still a straight shooter. He doesn't massage me to get to the place in my life that he wants to work. He doesn't say, well, Greg, you're doing really great in this area, and I just want to commend you. No, he says, I'm going to go straight to the main problem now because I have something better for you than that. And there's times, listen, the word of Christ can offend us if our hearts are not right. Let me just take a shot. Who has ever been offended by God's word? Besides me. Can I just tell you, I'm offended most days. And I'm not saying because there's a deep sin in here. Because if I read Matthew 28, it says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And then I think, wait a minute, I didn't share my faith with one person today. God, that offends me. Because I'm like, wait a minute. What's going on? And I'm not saying we do those things to earn, but it's just in the Bible. Are you guys with me? And it's like the words of Christ, because it goes against that heart that's inside me that still tries to rear itself back up all the time. If the word can offend us, if our hearts are not right. Then verse 16 says, don't you understand yet? Jesus asked. Verse 17, anything you eat passes through the stomach and then goes into the sewer. Jesus probably went to a low depth here when he said that, but that's the way, you know. It's like, Jesus, come on, man. What are you talking about? But the words you speak come from the heart. Jesus said this, that's what defiles you. So Jesus is basically saying here, your heart can deceive us. He said, from within the heart. Listen to this. And these are things that can still come up out of us as followers of Christ. Evil thoughts. Murder. Now, I'm not saying that it doesn't necessarily mean you killed somebody or you might think about it. Bible says if you hate somebody, it's the same. You with me? Adultery. Even it's a thought. You're like, where'd that come from? All sexual immorality. It's just, you're doing good. It just, something comes out. Theft, lying, and slander. I didn't mean to say that. Where did it come from? Your heart. A Christian's heart. So the heart, he says, these are what defile you. Eating with unwashed hands will never defile you. He's saying, forget the rules and regulations. It's what comes out of you that defiles you, because your hearts are not right before God. And you're not allowed, you need to allow me to get in there and do something. So my last point is, the heart produces things that go against God's plan. The heart produces things that go against God's plan. It's not God's plan for me to fall into sexual immorality. It's not God's plan for me to fall into adultery. It's not God's plan for me to slander you. That's why I need to allow Christ in there to do something. Listen to this, and I'm almost finished. Genesis 6, 5. This is the beginning after God had created the heavens and the earth and placed man and woman on the earth. Listen to this. The Lord observed the extent of human wickedness on the earth. This is right before the flood. And he saw that, listen to this, everything they thought or imagined was consistently and totally evil. Consistently. But now watch God's reaction to this. It says, so the Lord was sorry he had ever made them. We don't hear that talked about a lot. And we know God loves us. We know that he has mercy and grace. Thank God. Amen. And there's no doubt God loves you, or he proved it by sending his son to die for you. But this point in the beginning of the creation of the world, he looked down and he was sorry that he made them and put them on the earth. And here's what it says it did to God. It broke his heart. Because he's thinking, I have this. It's much like you parents. You have an amazing, you probably have a thought process of great plans for your children. Not that you're going to micromanage them, but you want them to grow up. You want them to be free from harm. You want them to be successful. You want them to live in peace. You want them to have a good life, to be comfortable. You want them to prosper. You don't want harm to come to them. Listen to me. That's God's plan for us as our ultimate father. So much like if you're a parent and you see your children, I prayed for some precious parents of teenagers that their children are just so far from God and they are just broken inside. And they start questioning, what did I do wrong? What happened? Because this one serves Christ, this one doesn't. There's no rhyme or reason to it. People make their own choices. But it still, it breaks your heart as a parent. And you think, what can I do? And it's just something you wear, heaviness on you all the time. Listen, this is what it does to God. When we let our hearts deceive us and we let our hearts, the wickedness in our hearts, rise up. He's like, that's not my plan for them. It's not my plan for Jack, or if your name's Jack, please don't take it. I'm just using that. For him to fall into sexual immorality. It's not my plan for Jonas to fall into to slander, that because it's hurting him. It says it broke his heart. So our heart conditions can break God's heart. It's just he looks at it, and you know, it says in the scripture, Jesus has compassion for the lost. He has compassion for people because he knows they're separated from the shepherd. And he's like, man, I'll do anything to get people with me because I can protect them. I'll be with them. I'll lead them down. You know what he said? I'll do anything. That anything was, I'd die for you. And the offer's there. But even after Christ, it's a surrender of saying, God, I understand now. And I'm just saying this just like I would. God, understand that my heart can deceive me. I understand that there could be evil lurking inside me, that if somebody hits me, you know, people don't believe. I believe this, that I have the ability, if I let it go, that I could kill somebody. I don't say that, be afraid of me. But you understand, if I feed something and keep pouring into it and just push away, there is the ability for me to do anything, church. I'm just being honest with you. I am not above anything. And if I ever come to the place, and I believe that Jesus can set us free, but here's the thing, we've got to stay free, church. And that's my daily choices. That's me choosing. God, I'm not going to let this. There's something happening in my heart. That's why we say, God, today, get in my heart. And you get rid of anything. Anything. I pray this, like, God, let my heart break for the lost like your heart breaks for the lost. Because I'm not there, church. I want to just be broken when I hear people that are dying and going to hell. I want to be broken that it moves me so much that I can't do anything else except share my faith with every person I see. And I can only get to that place by choosing to trust him, but saying, God, hey, my heart's yours. Examine it. Psalm 51, it says, create in me a clean heart, God. Renew a right spirit. I close with this. Hebrews 3:12. This is a good way to close. It says this, and he's speaking to the church. He's speaking to the church. He says, be careful then, brothers and sisters, cousin brothers and sisters, make sure, everybody say make sure. Make sure that your own hearts, that means that right now in this place, I'm not responsible for Trisha's heart. I'm not responsible for my wife's heart. I'm not responsible for Joe's heart. It's make sure that Greg Cooper's heart, I'm taking ownership. My inner being. Make sure that Greg Cooper's heart are not evil and unbelieving. Make sure. Turning you away from the living God. There's no other way to say it than there is potential in me today to let my heart deceive me and evil to rise up inside me that it actually turns me away from this walk I've been on for years. I'm once going this way. If I leave it unattended, make sure that I don't become, my heart doesn't change. And then it says this, listen, verse 13, this is the beauty of church. You must warn each other once a year, every day. Do you understand that's the beauty of a church? It doesn't mean that I'm gonna be like, why are you doing this? Or why are you doing this? Because we're to love each other, right? It changes everything when we talk to each other in love. But we must warn each other every day while it is still today so that none of you will be deceived. Listen to this, church. Please hear me. So that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. That is a letter to the church. You know how I know that's true? Because I can bring up here, I would never do it, but I can bring up you right now hundreds of people that this has happened to. People that I prayed with, people that I saw God doing things in their life, and they did not allow God to keep working in their heart, and the flesh cried out, and they started listening to it, get a little bit farther away, and it turned them from God, and now they're so angry at God, they want nothing to do with them, or they're like, that Christianity's not true, and they're so hard. Listen, church, I have the potential in me right now to become that. I'm just being honest as I can possibly be to you today. And that's why it's up to me to make sure that my heart stays where it stays with Christ. And I have to give God full access. I don't walk around cowering in fear like, oh, I messed up, God. You must say, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that I get to the place where my heart just turns from God. And I find myself still coming to church and maybe worshiping, but my mind is over here in the sexual immorality and the lies and the slander. And God says, Greg, just put your hands down. Just let me in your heart. In verse 14, and I close with this. For if we are faithful to the end, God, listen to this, guys. If we are faithful to the end, trusting God just as firmly as when we first believed. You hear that? Remember that day you got saved? Since then, have our hearts turned towards God, or they drifted a little bit? It's not to make us feel bad, but it's just kind of recalibrating today, saying, God, get me back to my first love. There's a scripture in Revelation that says, you've forgotten your first love. You've fallen. There's a letter, one of the letters to the church is, you've fallen. Remember that time when you were so in love with Jesus and everything was just, you were just like, man, what's happened? Perhaps, I'm not saying you don't follow Christ anymore, but perhaps our hearts deceived us. It made us think certain things are more important than this, or we're not spending the time we used to with God the time now that we used to. Last point, and I close, you can stand. We need to examine our hearts regularly, just every day. What does that mean? That means that you give God. Listen, God will never force himself on you. You guys with me? He did not pin me to the floor and make me recite the sinner's prayer. I chose to do that. I said, Jesus, I want you to be my Lord and Savior.
This is Pastor Andrew, and I'd like to thank you for listening to our podcast this week at The Cause Church. If you have any questions, prayer requests, or testimonies that you would like to share, please contact us at thecausechurch.org, or you can call us anytime. Also, follow us on social media. On Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube, you can find us at The Cause Church MD, MD as in Maryland. We now have two service times, 9 o'clock and 10:45. The 10:45 service is live streamed on Facebook and YouTube and on our website. We would love for you to come out and bring your family. We really look forward to seeing you. Have a blessed day. Thank you for listening to the Cause Church Podcast.